Thank you, Steve. 209, numbers in the news, the current events quiz in the next half hour. Here we go.
These heinous actions by the Assad regime cannot be tolerated.
That's the topic in this half hour. 209 on WGN. And I'm not an expert on this thing. You aren't either. The scary part is the man in the White House isn't either. So I presume he deferred to the military experts. Although you also got the impression that if he had not seen the video, remember, President Trump has long not been an advocate of military intervention there, but he said when he saw the video that gave him a change of heart. Maybe that's the way it should be. In fact, I know a lot of us had that reaction when we did our Mincing Rascals podcast, which you can hear right now. We'll broadcast part of that on Saturday. Kristen McQuarrie said, "Have you seen the video?" I said, "No." She said, "I get the feeling she wasn't an advocate of military intervention or us getting further involved, but she said, when you see the video, you think, oh, God, we have got to do something about that."
There's a difference between being on the outside and saying what you should do and being on the inside.
So different.
He's on the inside now.
And I think he's doing what obviously his military advisors felt he should do. Hillary Clinton said we should strike their airfield.
It's an interesting reaction. And then some of the more conservative groups, like the alt-right groups, are very critical of him.
Why are they critical of this?
They don't like the idea that he did
us
it.
Us getting involved.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I'm not...
Which is good. I mean, it shows we're not reacting strictly on party lines.
Political lines,
you know?
Yeah. You know, but I it troubles me a little bit in that if the president had not seen the video, would we not be doing this? I want to do it on the merit of the cause and not just an emotional reaction because it was very upsetting to him and he thinks, well, by golly, we'll show them. I don't want that to be how we react. Tom Akaitis is a terrorism expert and a professor of history at DePaul University. He's joined us many times on WGN and he joins us again. Hi, Tom. Welcome back.
Hello.
So, Tom, just jump in there. I presume you heard some of that conversation.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think you said it very well. It's quite different to campaign and to be on the outside and have these ideas and then to be on the inside when you have access to intelligence and a much more complicated situation. Clearly, the president appears to have been personally moved, but I think he also, you know, listened that for strategic reasons he felt he needed to do something. It's hard. It's not clear yet the direction. We did have good intel at who did it, where they did it from, and so on. And that strike was surgical. On the other hand, it was very substantial. And the question is, now what? Is, I think, the question all of us are struggling with, because there will be fallout and there will be continued issues to deal with.
Well, let's go back one step first. Was it the sure. right thing to do? Was this the appropriate response by the United States?
I struggle with that. You know, part of me says, you know, many more people die in horrible ways from conventional things that we don't really see the pictures, you know, being bombed with incendiaries, being, you know, covered in a building and slowly suffocating or dying of thirst, which happens, are equally horrible things you don't see. I don't know that it will change. It won't change the dynamic on the ground. Assad is still very likely to win the struggle and reassert control. I think in some ways it was more about a communication of how the U.S. intends to respond. Whether it is the right or wrong decision will depend on what we follow it up with. Will there be continued engagement with Russia? Will there be some restraint exercised by the Assad regime? If that's the case, it will prove to be correct. If it's a one-off, it will not be. It may, in fact, make it worse. We don't know.
A one-off, meaning a one-off by us?
Well, I thought what happened in the aftermath in 1998, in the aftermath of the embassy bombings in East Africa, was we hurled a bunch of cruise missiles against the pharmaceutical factory in South Sudan, and then nothing followed from that. And it didn't, if anything, it emboldened al-Qaeda because it didn't show a whole lot of resolve on our part. So, you know, I'm not saying, you know, that's what I'm referring to. So we just really are not sure yet what's the larger strategy and how does this fit into it is the question I think I'm struggling with.
Yeah. In other words, if this is going to make any sense, then we have to be more involved still. That if you're going to do this, then you'd better have.
Right.
And what is that? Is that soldiers deployed there or what?
No, I think it's diplomatic engagement and continued communication with the Assad regime to say these are the limits. and continued engagement with Russia to say, what is your role in all of this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going to do and so on? No, I think we had very, very few options. You're not going to send planes into a terribly crowded airspace and risk a confrontation with Russian aircraft or risk having American pilots shot down. There is still among the American public, not just the outright, the public at large, no appetite for a large ground mission in Syria. This is part of what got us in trouble in the first place with the invasion of Iraq.
Still, I think this is my guess, but I'll bet if I opened my phone lines and said thumbs up or thumbs down, are you glad to see the United States respond this way? I'll bet more people will say thumbs up than thumbs down.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Because there is a moral opprobrium to what Assad has done. You know, I think that's the issue. And it's, you know, it's not the first time a president was swayed by pictures. I mean, George H.W. Bush, the intervention in Somalia, was driven by pictures of starving kids on TV, you know, at least in part. So, yeah, no question. Now, on the other hand, when you start nuancing the question 2 and 3 days away and say, well, do you think we should get more involved in Syria? I don't think you're going to get a consistent thumbs up. I think you're going to get more thumbs down.
One last thing, and then we'll pick up a couple of phone lines, Tom. The number is 312-981-7200. I noticed the president, though, in his speech said that this was in our vital interest. Those were his words, our vital interest,
yeah.
Meaning this wasn't a humanitarian, this wasn't an emotional response. This is best for the people of the United States. I won't quibble with that, but I think that's it's hard to know, isn't it? Because it's quite possible we will now be the target of some terrorism ourselves, right?
That's a possibility, although I don't think we're going to go up. I mean, it's not the Assad regime that's been targeting us. It's ISIS.
Yeah.
I think that remark bespeaks that this is about strategic communication, at least in part, of a new administration early in the presidency to say we are going to continue to be an actor on the global stage. We are going to engage. And you're right. It's creating some of a negative ripple effect with his base on the far right, who very much are isolationists, saying unless American interests are directly and demonstrably impacted by foreign events, we should not get involved. Other Americans, and I think probably the majority to some degree at least, say, no, we do stand for certain things, and we should.
All right, here we go. Randy, you're on WGN. What's your question or comment? Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, like the gentleman just said, you know, some people are for doing what he did. But my question is, why does it have to be us? Why can't it be France or some other country? Why does the U.S. have to be the one that always goes and slaps the hand of the bad guy?
Well, the answer quite simply is it doesn't need to be us.
What I'm saying is, why is it us?
Yeah. Well, I no one else is showing the political will to do this, to get involved in this conflict except Russia, which is backing Assad. You could say, no, American interests aren't involved. We shouldn't do it. We shouldn't always step up. On the other hand, I think it's always been a tension. You know, to some degree, American values inform American foreign policy. And even the president who said that should not be the case when he campaigned is realizing that maybe it is. So I think, you know, these are not easy questions to do. And I think they're tough questions and discussions being hashed out in Washington. No, we don't have to do it. He chose to.
It's an interesting question, isn't it? Because Great Britain could shoot some missiles in there. Great Britain's got missiles, right? They could have done this.
Yeah,
I'll bet people watching those images on TV in Great Britain thought this is horrible. And they have values like ours. I wonder where's their compulsion to do something in response?
Well, France definitely did respond after the Paris attacks. They sent the carrier Charles de Gaulle into the Eastern Mediterranean and started pounding the ISIS bases. Well, that was ISIS, not Assad.
Yeah, but that was an attack against the French.
I understand, totally. This is where it is. And this is what a lot of people have said in the last election on the right, is the U.S. it should not be the moral policeman of the world. Now, I'm not taking a side on it either way. The caller's question is a valid one and one that I think each individual has to struggle with. I think to some degree, you know, there may be some issue of wanting to establish a certain credibility that we do reserve the right to act and so on. You know, this is going to – the real blowback is going to be in U.S.-Russia relations, which are frosty to begin with and are going to get more so.
Should that be a consideration when we're doing something like this?
It has to be a consideration. We live in a complex, you know, delicately balanced world.
The Russians are wrong. I mean,
ethically, I have no problem saying that. The question is the best response to do this is a tougher one to do. But the other thing is, there has been an emerging set of norms over the last century or more as to, you know, even something as horrific as war should be bounded by some sort of reasonable norms that try to minimize the suffering of the innocent. And we have stood for those values, and, you know, not always, not consistently, and sometimes by ourselves. You know, it's a valid question to debate in public. Do we want to continue to do that? Surprisingly, the president, who initially said, no, we shouldn't do, when even this we shouldn't do, has come down on the side of yes, which is a bit of a surprise. Not to say that he's a bad person or whatever. He obviously was, I think, very moved by this. But he had said previously he wasn't. It's a reversal of his previous position.
This is Sharon. You're on WGN. Hi, Sharon. Tom Mikaitis is our guest from DePaul. What do you say, Sharon?
Yes, this particular strike cost $70 million. A lot of the missiles never made it to their target.
Hold on a second, Sharon. We're having trouble hearing you. It's an expensive strike. It wasn't that successful. She told my producer off the air that it's not justified for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that is a defendable position to argue. I don't know the cost of a cruise missile. I've heard $1 million a pop, 59 of them. That's not insignificant. Whether it's justified, there's an international law argument. We did not get UN approval. We did not get any consensus from anybody. We notified the Russians 30 minutes before, which was barely enough time for them to duck if they were nearby. You could argue that. That's a position you could take to say, no, Americans were not attacked. Americans were not hurt. This is a civil war. This is interfering in the affairs of another country. We should stay out of it. The countering argument is the one I just made, that, you know, do you take the position that American values mean something in foreign affairs? That's a valid and argument we could have at great length. Her question, her point is a good one.
Just another minute with a couple of calls. It's 2:21. Tom Mikaitis is on the phone line, professor of history, obviously a terrorism expert at DePaul University. You've got a question or comment, 312-981-7200. Just one other thing, Tom, when we come back, respond to this, at least for me and whatever calls we can get in. But I wonder if the unpredictability of this president, as a result, this United States military, is actually a good thing. At least it's an interesting thing, because you don't know what he's going to do. You don't play chicken with me, boy. I'll hit you. That's sort of the feeling that I had today. And I thought, I wonder if that's helpful or not. In a minute on GN. Tom Mikaitis is a terrorism expert and professor of history at DePaul University. He's been talking to us a little bit about this. Just before I go to the last two calls, Tom, what's your reaction to the notion that the unpredictability of the president might actually be an asset? What do you think of that?
I think unpredictability in a complex and delicately balanced world is not an asset. In fact, what I am encouraged by is, I think what you're seeing is the White House that is settling in, perhaps, to a greater degree of predictability. I mean, the president made a point of saying, this is carefully considered. It's about establishing, you know, what our boundaries are, et cetera. That bespeaks predictability. I think it was very easy. I think he had some trouble getting out of the campaign mode of appealing to a base on these kind of, you know, these kind of platitudes and so on. And he's now governing. And that's a good thing. Whether we agree or disagree on the airstrikes, the fact that you know, there is not this mercurialness, is if it turns out that way, is what you want in foreign policy. Being a wild card or a loose cannon doesn't work terribly well.
Does this seem like an appropriate response to the gas attacks?
I can't answer, and I'm not trying to be evasive. I genuinely do not know. I mean, in one sense, there is a humanitarian imperative here to say that this form of warfare has been outlawed for more than half a century. You were warned before. You were told in the Obama administration. We were told that the gas had been removed and it was gone. Clearly, it wasn't. You did it again. This is enough. Okay. On the other hand, if all it is a one-off, you know, fire a barrage of missiles into Syria and, you know, hope that it does the trick with no diplomatic follow-on, no larger strategy, then no, it could easily prove to be worse than useless.
He portrayed this as cleaning up Barack Obama's mess. Is that fair?
No, it's not fair. That's, you know, in some ways, that's almost typical of any new president. It's a little strident here as well. President Obama made the case that, you know, bombing to prove you can was not the case. I mean, Obama's strategy did stop. You could argue it the other way. You could say, look, Barack Obama made clear that we would not tolerate this again, and the missiles and the gas had to be out, and he didn't use it until the new administration. You could equally well argue, well, Donald Trump's statements that he wasn't going to do anything is what emboldened Assad. I don't know that either argument is terribly valid, but the blame game is something that is, kind of an indoor sport in Washington.
This is Dennis. You're on WGN. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, John. Dennis from Chicago. John, my point is what about the refugees? If Trump wants to be a real president, he should consider, or we should allow, refugees in this country. If I'm not mistaken, Time did an article on this maybe about 3-4 weeks ago. And I think what I remember is Jordan has taken in 1.5 million Syrian refugees. And I'm just wondering if his last meeting with the Jordanian president this week helped influence in some way. Anyway, that's it, John.
Thanks for the call. What's your reaction to that, Tom?
Ironically, I was just before this show, I was doing a presentation on migration and security and the refugee crisis. All the countries in the region are overwhelmed. Jordan can take no more. Lebanon really can't either. Europe is slowing, being reluctant to. I don't see us making much change on that. I would agree that we could do more. In the current political climate, that's not very likely. This particular attack is not going to adversely affect one or help the refugee situation. They hit a purely military target. There's no evidence that we had much by way of collateral damage. That's an intransigent problem that is a subject for, another show that we could go on a great length about.
And lastly, Melissa, what was your question or comment?
I think that, it's just a longtime pressure cooker from a social justice standpoint. People are tired of the apathy locally in Chicago, the violence, and, globally. Yeah. And I hate to say it, but a lot of people voted for Trump that don't like Trump. And it was because they just hit a breaking point. The pacifism is not working locally nor globally. Let's take a stance.
Interesting. Thanks for the call. What's your last reaction to that, Tom?
Yeah, I think her read on the election is accurate, although I think domestic politics more than international. There was actually a desire, an isolationist trend in the voting that we saw. But taking a stand, I don't disagree with that. I think the difficult thing is that, to balance short-term and results with long-term consequences, there is, in an odd sort of way, a feel-good dimension to being able to really throw a good hard punch at a bully. And that's essentially what happened. Whether that will long-term make the situation better or worse is a lot harder to measure. And I think, I think that's the issue. We got out of the Middle East and we didn't go in because the American public was tired of losing sons and daughters in these Middle East wars.
I think that
is still there. Yeah.
I think you got that right. It's what a pleasure, Tom. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your expertise. I'll be calling you again.
Happy to do it.
Tom Akitis over at DePaul.